Most of you know I'm a beekeeper, and I'm pretty darn... bees. There's some little Italian bees, what most of us use here in Toowoomba, and feisty little mongrels. poor Andrew had about 300 stings once, so he knows what it's all about. Bees are something I'm pretty passionate about, and it's this time of year, you know, September for bees is a pretty good time, first month of spring, lots of nectar around, lots of pollen, and the queen is breeding like a Catholic rabbit, like it's just a good time of year. God's good, hey. I'm pretty stoked about that. And I understand that, like, September, you know, as it starts to get a bit warmer, people come out, businesses start getting pretty busy, which is good. And obviously, yeah, Christmas coming up, and it's easy for us to lose track of what's, like, truly important. I wanted to just come back to his word and see what he says about what is important. It's important to just focus in on that. You're riffing into it. Okay. let's jump into Matthew chapter 6, verses 25-34. I think that might be tomorrow's reading plan. So it reads this, it's on the screen. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. And this is the verse that really gets me every time. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And so, just going from there... it's obviously an incredible piece of scripture. He's telling us that we don't need to worry about the things that the pagans run after. We just need to stay focused on him. And he'll provide everything. And so, he says to seek his kingdom and righteousness. And often, like, we read this and we're like, yeah, praise God, you know. and then we, like, move on. But when you, like, stop and think, it's like, wait, well, what is, like, the kingdom and what is his righteousness? I just want to have a quick gander on Romans 14:17. And it reads this, and this is the kingdom. The kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. This scripture shows us that righteousness, along with peace and joy and Holy Spirit, are the attributes of God's kingdom. This is what it's made out of, and we are to seek and establish this kingdom right here on earth and right here in Toowoomba. We can see his kingdom. There's peace and there's this joy that no matter what the circumstance, you've got joy. That's the difference between the happiness and the joy, is that it's not circumstantial. And righteousness is the condition acceptable to God. It isn't earned, but given through faith in Jesus Christ, through following him like 100%. And that's just to know Christ. We're obviously made righteous through him. Just being in a relationship with him. God's kingdom is a place of people doing his will, which is loving him through people producing peace and joy. So we've got a pretty good picture of what that kingdom looks like. And Jesus actually asks us to pray for his kingdom to come. In Matthew 6:10, it says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's something he's really serious about us establishing here on earth. Something that I've increasingly been made aware of is the amount of distractions that we have in the world and in church, in our lives, that take our eyes away from establishing his kingdom. We've got so many hobbies, apps, movies, music, TV shows, gym, social media, and everything else that takes our attention away. Did I miss something? If it takes you away from the kingdom, yeah. It's something I've been really convicted on, actually. For those of you who know me like fairly well, after working during the week, I had this idea where I could just sort of kick back and relax and smash out some movies on the weekend, which in and of itself isn't bad. But it was my idea of rest, and I really enjoyed it. I was as I continued to grow closer and closer to God, he was revealing how much like worldly crap there was in movies, and how often I could compromise by watching a movie that had a dodgy scene or there was dodgy talk about Jesus or whatever. It just wasn't satisfying anymore. He took away that worldly desire from me, and so I actually don't enjoy a lot of the movies I used to watch, which is it's a good thing because I'm pursuing the kingdom, but that's just one area where I was distracted, was just wasting time on things like that instead of establishing that righteousness and peace and joy, establishing that kingdom. Another distraction for me was the idea of marriage. I was this is a good thing, and I was pretty keen on it. But when anything becomes so much, when anything grabs your attention more than God, it becomes an idol. And I've gone through moments before when that was the predominant thought on my mind was oh yeah, I'll get a wife. Yeah, that's what I'll do. And it's just like anything. Satan takes a good thing and can make it bad, and try and take you away from your eyes on Jesus. But when I say kingdom, what picture comes to your mind? Is it something like this? Or here's some answers. When I say the word kingdom, Anthony, what do you think when I say kingdom? Yeah, it's up there on the screen, so I better say castle. That's true. I mean, that's the picture that comes to most of our heads when we say kingdom. It's we're looking at some pretty pointy towers. But the reality is that there's lots of different kingdoms that we can be pursuing and trying to establish here on earth. Thanks, Liz. Yeah, amen. A lot of them can be, sport. People can idolize sport above God. Business is another one. Some people, a lot of young guys, worship their bodies. They're obsessed with going to the gym and eating 200 grams of protein a day. Social status can be another thing. You can become obsessed with building your own, rapport with everyone. These can all be kingdoms, and we're called to establish his kingdom first, above anything. And of course, none of these things are super bad. They're all pretty good things really, but if they take the place of pursuing God's kingdom first, once again, it's a bad thing. And yeah, look, for me, some of you guys know my story. I was pretty big on bees. Yeah, I'm so keen on beekeeping. And I was really keen on the idea of building up this business to the point where, I was going to be earning some pretty good dosh from it. And yeah, I was keen to get married, probably move out to Gabala, just somewhere outside of town, live pretty comfortable, and give a bit of a, you know, maybe a couple days a week I would serve the Lord. It wasn't my priority though. It was sort of like in my spare time I'll go to church and do the deed. This is something that really hit me, and it's, you know, God doesn't want just like a part of us. He wants every single part of you. Every single part of you. He wants your whole heart, not just a part. I didn't mean for that to rhyme. In Matthew 22:37, it says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." He wants all of you, every part of it. The good, the bad, and the ugly. And then another one is, actually, that's just extra scripture I don't need. I just want to encourage you tonight. This is a fairly brief message, but I was hoping for it to be one that could draw us closer to God, is for us to really check our hearts and to see what may be taking that place or even a part of a place where God should be. In Matthew 6:21 it says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And so I've got a little heart checklist up here. Who or what are you most passionate about? What are you living for? And what do you think about most? These are some questions that can really answer what kingdom you're building. What are you putting the hammer to, you know? Like I said before, in and of itself, a lot of these things, they're not bad, but if they take the place of God, it's really bad, yeah. So maybe if Kendo, like the music team, would be happy to come up and just sing a little tune. And man, I encourage you tonight to surrender everything to Jesus. Life's too short to be distracted by the things of the world and to miss out on what God has for you. His plans for you go so far beyond what you could ever imagine or just come up with by yourself. It has eternal, an eternal impact. I just want to make a bit of time tonight. It's good that I'm not carrying on for too long. Can we all just really come before the Lord and just ask Him, Dad, like what is taking my heart up too much? Like, just ask Him, what do I need to relinquish to you tonight? Maybe you want to build a beekeeping empire, I don't know, but I encourage you just to relinquish whatever you need to the Lord. And so I might just briefly pray and we'll get on with it. So, Father, we adore you. We thank you so much for your kingdom come and your will be done. We thank you for righteousness, peace, and joy. I thank you that we're made righteous through faith in your Son, Jesus Christ. I encourage anyone tonight who does not know Jesus to come to know him. If you want to ask some questions or anything, come and talk to me or any of the other leaders in Just Church. But Lord, we just want to invite you into this time. Convict us of sin. Convict us of anything that isn't glorifying you. We just give our whole hearts to you, Father. We adore you. We love you so much. Just take control of our lives.